This week I'm joined by Tom Allnutt, Press Association sports reporter, who usually covers Tottenham, of course. Tom, welcome back to the Tottenham Way.
Thanks for having me.
We've cut Tom out, the other Tom, Tom Hayward, who usually presents the show. We didn't really give him a choice, so I just texted him and said, Tom and I are doing it. We've been at the press conference this afternoon, so it made a lot of sense. So Tom, if you're listening, sorry, I've cut you out.
We found a new and improved Tom.
A new and improved Tom, exactly. Right, where to start? Let's start with Dortmund, because you went to Dortmund last week. I didn't go. I wasn't sent, but then I didn't watch the game either, because I was at a 30th. So
how did it go?
It was fine. It was actually on in the bar, but I deliberately said, we were kind of in a bar-y restaurant having dinner, and then it was like drinks afterwards, and I deliberately said during dinner, I'll sit with my back to the screen, because I knew that if I was facing it, right, I just wouldn't talk to anyone.
Was there any commentary on in there?
There was no commentary, it was quiet, but I just didn't want to sit there and just stare at a screen. It was a good mate, I wouldn't have missed it for a non-good mate's birthday.
So at the end of the match, you didn't know the score, or?
No, I did. I was glancing. I was looking at my shoulder like every 5 minutes, but I wasn't like staring at the screen. Okay. So when there was a goal, obviously someone gave me a nudge. So I know what happened in Dortmund, but I couldn't tell you about.
You don't know the details.
Exactly, I don't know about the kind of flow of the game, how it went. So, I mean, most people listening to the show would have watched the Dortmund game, and it's kind of old news by now. So, I mean, what were your big takeaways from it?
Well, I think probably one of the main things was, apart from the fact that, you know, Tottenham finishing first in the group was obviously an amazing achievement. You know, I mean, when the draw came out, everyone, I think, you know, thought it was a really tough group. So for Spurs to finish top of that group and go through first is a big thing. I mean, obviously, we don't know when the draw comes out. I think it's December the 11th, isn't it? So a week or two. You know, they could still draw Bayern Munich. They could still draw Juventus. So it might not, you know, go in their favour still. But it definitely shows the improvements they've made since last year. I mean, I think both me and you would say that watching Tottenham last year in the Champions League, it looked like you were watching a team that were really finding their feet in Europe. You know, they're playing teams who were just outsmarting them a lot of the time. Whereas this year, they just seem a lot more streetwise. They seem to know when to press, when not to, when to sort of see through spells. So I think overall, their Champions League campaign is obviously really impressive. From the game itself, I mean, I think Danny Rose was one of the big takeaways. You know, I think. I mean, he said himself after the match that he thought he was horrendous in the first half, which I think was slightly harsh probably on his own performance. Like he maybe took a bit of time to get going, but certainly in the second half he was pretty good. And
I mean, there was a lot of talk after the game about the fuming comment.
Yeah.
Him saying he was fuming to be left out at Arsenal, and he said that to you, right?
Yeah, I mean, we there was two or three of us, and I asked, I said to him, you know, as you do when you're a journalist, you know, you try and keep those kind of slightly touchy questions quite vague. So, you know, I just sort of said, you know, Danny, what was your, you know, can you try and clear up these kind of stories that have been going around about how you reacted to the being left out of the weekend? And, you know, and I think if you read the quotes, it came out as if he was, you know, sort of ranting or raving, or maybe he was angry, but it wasn't like that at all. I mean, as you know, like Danny Rose is pretty level-headed, he's quite calm when he speaks. It really felt like he'd sort of thought about what he wanted to say, and then he was saying it. It didn't look as though he was really pissed off with Pochettino. It was just like, yeah, look, I was disappointed to be left out, but the idea that we've had a big fallout and everything.
But he didn't say disappointed, he said fuming. And that's very different from disappointed.
Yeah.
I think if it had said, I was disappointed to be left out, no one would have raised an eyebrow. You know, it would have been non-news. But just, for me, it is a non-issue. But nonetheless, I think just the use of the word fuming made it feel a little bit inflammatory. And maybe that was not the best use of words.
Yeah, but I do think that we've had previous with Rose where he's given us really good stories because he's kind of said things how it is. You know, I don't think he was being deliberately inflammatory. I don't think he was trying to create something. I think that's just how he is. That is his style of interview, that when he speaks like he's speaking to anybody, you know, down the pub. Like, and that's what's so nice, particularly as a journalist, is that you always kind of get the real details out of Rose. You get a real feeling of how he feels and that kind of thing. You don't get the, you know, perhaps
what you get
from the other players, which is, you know, of course I'm disappointed to be left out, but you know, you take them, I respect the manager and we go on to the next game. You know, that is effectively what he was saying, but he said it in the way that I would say it to
everyday
you,
speech.
Which I think is nice.
Well, I agree, and I think as journalists, yeah, certainly we can't have it both ways. We appreciate when Danny Rose is candid and when he gives us a line and when he says something in everyday speech, but then there's also me saying, well, I think that was inflammatory. I get the contradiction there, but it did raise debate on social media. There were people saying, I don't think Danny Rose should have said he was fuming. And I almost feel like, you know, that in itself, given the position he's in, you know, given he upset a lot of people with an inflammatory interview, I just wonder if, you know, then he could have chosen his words more carefully. But look, I think it's not the biggest issue.
It was also noticeable, just a quick side point, that Pochettino quoted that word when in the press conference afterwards, you know, which suggested to me that he had certainly taken notice of what Rose had said. You know, he kind of said, you know, oh, if your player is angry, if a player is fuming, I think he even did the sort of quotation marks. Yeah. You know, so I mean, he definitely knew what Rose had said, and it obviously had registered with him. So it remains to be seen. You know, like we've seen before, and we Pochettino say, oh, everything's rosy and fine, and then when the transfer window comes, these players, they quickly get shipped out, and that might be the case with Rose.
Yeah, of course, he was left out of the squad for the West Brom game, which we will regrettably come to shortly. Going back to Dortmund, Son scored again, having scored against Palace a couple of weeks ago. Another good performance from him, I assume?
Yeah, he played well, and I think the fact that he started again at the weekend against West Brom was, you know, a reward really for him playing well. You know, I think Son often will make an impact off the bench, or he'll score a goal, you know, a couple of goals against maybe a lesser team or something, and then maybe he doesn't get the run that he might get at another club. But I think he did get that start against West Brom, and whether or not you think he, you know, justified that in that performance, I don't know. But I mean, I think he did play well against Dortmund. I mean, it's a really astonishing record that he has against them. I can't quite remember the number now. I wrote it in my report, but he has a really good record against them. And maybe Pochettino, he said before the match, Poch, that he didn't think about that.
He said afterwards as well, didn't he, that he doesn't bear that kind of thing in mind.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe.
But he's also like
quite
a weird, like, spiritual kind of guy, and I feel like he would believe in that kind of thing.
Yeah, I do.
I think he said before, like, he feels that Kane's connection to the club gives him an edge. So I wouldn't be surprised if he thought, I need to play Son against Dortmund because he always scores against them.
Yeah, and the other week he said he likes to sort of sometimes to walk up to players and just give them a football because he thinks it, like, reminds them of the enthusiasm that they had when they were kids. I just think that's a bit, if you're a footballer, surely you're, like, used to a football being in your hands. But yeah,
now you've got to feel it.
You've got to feel it, yeah.
Anything else from Dortmund apart from you accidentally booking a hotel room in Cologne rather than Dortmund
in the wrong
itself?
City, yeah, you think if Tottenham are playing Dortmund, you think it's pretty obvious, right, that you stay in Dortmund.
Well, I've done the Dortmund away game in March 2015.
What did you think of Dortmund?
I mean, it is, I've got to be careful here. it's not the most interesting town. I think the football club is the most interesting thing about it. It was a great atmosphere at the stadium, as you'd expect, even though Spurs play kind of a midfield. I think of Mason, Onoma and Tom Carroll against kind of Royce, Gundogan and whoever else. So it was a bit of a one-sided game, but certainly the football club was the most exciting thing. So I can understand you booking.
Well, I was hoping that by staying in Cologne this time of year, maybe there'd be some nice Christmas markets, you know, I could kind of like go out, you know, just sort of maybe pick up some presents for my family and things. But
right.
It was a long, long journey. It was about an hour and 40 minutes. So the Christmas markets, A, weren't there, and B, if they were, it wouldn't have been worth it. So I ended up having to stay on, in Alistair Gould's room. Because I wasn't going to be tired to get back to Cologne after the match.
Shared a room with Ali G. That's,
in Ali G.
Sounds like quite an experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I have shared with Ben Pearce before.
How did that go?
It was all right, yeah. I mean, I thought Ben would be a snorer. And in the end, he just got in his pyjamas and settled down, and I didn't hear a peep from him. So,
Alistair is a snorer.
No complaints. Is he?
Yeah.
Is he really?
He actually warned me before we went to sleep. He said, "Now listen, I'm a snorer. I feel really bad about it." And that put me in.
Did he keep you awake?
Well, he woke me up at one point, but I think it didn't last that long. So, fortunately, it wasn't as bad as I was expecting.
Mate, I would be so sketchy if I was in that situation. I would just lie there, like, not at all relaxed, not sleeping.
Not waiting.
And just wait for dawn so I could leave. Go back to my room in Cologne. Okay. Anything else from Dortmund that you think is worth raising?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, another very good win for Spurs. And, of course, it means next week's game against Apoel is a complete dead rubber. We might see Lamela start. We might see some young players play. And it should be... It should be a decent occasion, a good opportunity for Poch to do something else.
I mean, how far do you think Tottenham now for that group stage? You know, do you think they're now are they contenders to sort of go to the semi, the final, or do you still think this is a team that's...
I mean, you mentioned Bayern and Juve earlier, and I do think that Spurs shouldn't have any fear against playing either Bayern or Juve. I really think that, and you know, having done Real Madrid, I mean, technically it was what 4-1, 4-2 on aggregate.
Yeah,
they can have complete confidence, and it does feel like this year the traditional big hitters in the Champions League are all not quite themselves. They've all got different problems, and it does feel like it's a year where it's a bit more open than usual. And a lot of people have said, well, that could be Man City's chance to capitalise and PSG's chance to capitalise. But if Spurs get a decent draw, or even if they don't get a decent draw, then why shouldn't Tottenham capitalise, particularly as City will very much be focused on winning the title.
Spurs, and Tottenham might not be.
Well, yeah, Spurs might think, well, we're already out of the title race, which Poch has not quite admitted in the last few days, but come quite close to admitting. Mm. So, and I think you asked him before the West Brom game if there'd ever come a time when he'd prioritise the Champions League, you know, come February, March, and he more or less said, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So maybe
yeah,
we will.
It's possible, didn't it? Yeah.
And I don't think last year he would have ever said that. He was very much someone who put the Premier League first, the Champions League second, the FA Cup third, and the Carabao Cup fourth. You know, you knew his priorities in quite a clear order.
Yeah.
But there might come a time when Spurs say, we've got a league game at the weekend, but you know, we're going big midweek and we'll rest players in the league.
Yeah.
But I think they should have nothing to fear. From a personal point of view, I'd like someone like Porto or Sevilla. I don't think Istanbul's in the cards anymore. I think Beşiktaş have finished first. But a nice trip somewhere, hopefully.
Somewhere warm.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, in late February. We'll see, but I think Spurs have a very, very good chance to at least go to the quarters.
Yeah, I agree. I think certainly the quarters, and if they're maybe fortunate with a draw, I think they could get in the semis. I do wonder if they hit somewhere like PSG over two legs, particularly with the Wembley thing. You know, I mean, I know they've been pretty good at Wembley in the Champions League, but I still wonder over two legs whether they would be able to do that. But I mean, you know, who knows? You know, you get to that stage, and if one or two of the big guns, as you say, are knocked out, then it could be one of those years where, you know, you have a few teams who get further on, you know, who are beatable in that stage. So,
yeah.
You know, and there is and Kane said after the match, you know, that we don't fear anyone now. You know, that is the one thing I think the players have taken from the group stage, is that having beaten Dortmund and Real Madrid, they now don't have this
fear factor.
Yeah, it's underdog factor now, where Spurs
have
always been
a
second tier
gone
team. Now I think they feel they're up there with the others.
Yeah, when you beat the two time back to back champions, I don't think there's anyone you should fear, frankly. You mentioned Wembley there. That's a good segue into West Brom on Saturday. Another very frustrating match from a Spurs point of view. It felt pretty familiar to Burnley, to Swansea, to Palace, to Bournemouth. Similar kind of game. West Brom scored early, they put men behind the ball, and then it was about, you know, can Spurs break them down? And to an extent, they could. They got a goal back, but I never really felt like Foster had too much to do apart from that.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing you want to do against their team is concede early, isn't it? And give them a foothold and something to hold on to. And it was a poor bit of play from Ali. I wonder if he spends so long these days up the pitch, you know, further, you know, in the final third, where what he tried to do there, you know, you couldn't try and do, you know, a sort of bouncing ball. He tried to basically turn Livermore in a half volley, you know. But actually, if you're playing as a sort of defensive midfielder, as the one man in front of a back three, and that goes wrong, and then you are one pass away from being in a one-on-one situation. So perhaps he just kind of forgot where he was a bit. Mm. Sanchez just didn't quite get it, wasn't it?
I mean, I think he thought he was going to out-muscle Rondon, because he kind of went shoulder to shoulder, and I don't think he realised how strong Rondon was.
Yeah.
Because he just, suddenly Sanchez just kind of found him bouncing off him.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that's happened against many other players. And I think Tammy Abraham, you know, was quite strong against him, but on the whole, he's been quicker and stronger than most Premier League strikers. And suddenly, he was the one flying away, and Rondon, this kind of mishit finish that I think took Lloris by surprise too. And I think all three of them were culpable in some way, Ali, Sanchez and Lloris, for the goal.
Yeah, it was a really poor goal to concede. And I mean, from then on, from about sort of 20 minutes onwards, it was all Spurs, you know, and they had all of the ball. But there is something, you know, against these teams where even at White Hart Lane, you know, I do think that obviously the Wembley factor is a factor, you know, and Spurs' results last year against the lower teams was pretty relentless. But we have seen games at White Hart Lane like this, you know, where they have struggled to score and you know, the atmosphere becomes slightly more tense in the second half, you know, and they have
it
to
felt a bit Harry Redknapp, didn't it?
It did feel
like a big Champions League win,
yeah,
and then a smaller club comes and does a job on you at home.
Yeah,
that's what the story of the 2010-11 season.
Yeah, it was a bit like that, and I just wonder as well. It does sort of turn the spotlight again on the bench a bit, I think, you know, in those kind of games where you look at what they're bringing on. And I mean, Llorente's a good striker, but for whatever reason, he just doesn't really seem sharp right now.
I thought Llorente was a poor substitution, actually.
Yeah, because I mean,
West Brom is more balls into the box at that point.
Yeah,
they're winning most headers. That's where they're strong. It's no coincidence the Spurs scored from a low cross into the box because that's where, you know, Kane's got the advantage. He's got quicker feet. He's better on the ground. And to bring on a striker, albeit the only striker on the bench or the only kind of forward on the bench who can only score with his head, didn't seem to make much sense to me. It just invited the approach that West Brom were dealing with quite easily.
Yeah, and he did it early, you know, it was sort of 60 minutes, I think.
From that sense, it was good to see Poch being proactive because he's not always that proactive when it comes to substitutions. But
while I
thought Dembele made a difference, he just helped to, you know, break through the West Brom lines a little bit because he can do that with his strength and his dribbling. I thought Llorente wasn't the best shout, but then, you know, who else has Spurs got?
Yeah, and that is it. I think, you know, they do lack that kind of someone to bring on who maybe can just do something a little bit different, I think. And you know, before we come on to Lamela maybe a bit later, I think he might help that, you know, because if he is on the bench, you know, then maybe it means that Son's on the bench, or it just increases those options certainly more. I mean, I thought that maybe Aurier would get a chance maybe in the second half just because he does have that ability to run round people, you know, and get to the byline and pull back, you know.
It feels like he's maybe got the fullbacks the wrong way round.
Yeah, I mean,
this week, I mean, you feel like Rose and Aurier would have been effective against West Brom. They need people that can beat men one-on-one against West Brom. You need to be able to get round them, get to the byline. Suddenly the game opens up and that's when you can score. Whereas at Leicester, you imagine kind of their fullbacks are going to get forward. They're going to have Gray and Mahrez on the flanks, either side of Vardy. They'll be pushing on. There'll be space, and that's when, you know, Trippier and Davis can get balls into the box.
Yeah, I mean, Davis and Trippier are both, you know, they're nice footballers, but they do like to play everything in front of of their opponent's fullback. You know, they like to.
They can't really beat men.
They don't really go around them, do they? Mm. You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, lots of different postmortems from the dressing room leaders. I think Dyer came out and talked about time wasting. Lloris came out and talked about more trickery, more aggression in the final third. He even talked about winning more free kicks and more penalties. Kane came out and said it was all about the early goal. We shot ourselves in the foot. Let's talk about all three of those comments, starting with the time wasting. It was ridiculous, and Dyer had a good point, didn't he?
You feel more strongly about this, I think, than I do.
I feel strongly about it. I mean, Dyer's point, for those who haven't seen the comments or read the interview, was that the referee booking Foster in the 80th minute was just too late for Tottenham, because by that time he'd time wasted for most of the game, you know, more or less since Rondon scored, and it was not really a deterrent with 10 minutes remaining.
No,
I think it was actually the 82nd minute. I feel strongly, because I think it was so obvious to everyone in Wembley that he was doing it. And there was, I think even Ali G himself tweeted at some point around about 15 minutes, let's have a sweepstake for when Foster's booked for time wasting. Mm. So it was very, very obvious that it was going to come at some point. And booking him in the 82nd minute just felt like a bottle job for me.
Yeah.
It felt like the referee saying, well, I'm acknowledging that you've done it, but I haven't really had the guts to deter you from doing it up until now.
Yeah, it's just ticking a box, really.
This player has... Yeah, has done it consistently and he's deserved this yellow card. But really, you know, I can understand that rule needs a bit of leeway at times, because it would be a bit much to be blowing up, you know, counting to 6 seconds every single time a goalkeeper had the ball in his hands. It just doesn't work like that, and we know it. But, you know, after the third or fourth time, after he's kicked the ball out of the hands of the ball boy, you think at some point the ref's going to go, okay, you're on a booking. And then he's got to be careful, and he's got to speed the game up.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely the moment when the yellow card should have come out, when he booted the ball out of the ball boy's hands. I definitely understand those points. I think it's valid. I think football has had this problem for quite a long time, and it's just sort of now accepted that, you know, if you're a team that's holding on to a lead, you can waste time with injuries, with substitutions, with goal kicks, all this kind of thing, you know. And I mean, I've always thought that for a long time that, you know, that
they could take on that, like making a substitution or even giving away a free kick is a kind of cuter and cleverer way of doing it. Because when you give away a free kick, you give away a free kick, and that has risks in itself.
But then the free kick takes ages to be taken, you know, and the substitution, the guy's walking off rather than running off. You know, there's just this whole like underground thing going on at play, right, where you're just trying to waste time at any given moment. You know, I wonder why like they don't have a rule like they do in rugby, where like when the ball's out of play, the watch stops. You know, like rather than having this kind of slightly arbitrary, oh, I'm adding on 2 minutes or 4 minutes at the end of the match. Yeah. Like, why doesn't the watch stop? But I mean, my thing is, I mean, I agree with you. I think your points are valid, but I just think that, you know, Tottenham, if they'd had another 5 minutes, it didn't feel to me like they might have scored another. They might have done.
But that's irrelevant. That's immaterial. But if they deserve the other 5 minutes, then they deserve the extra 5 minutes.
Yeah, but it wouldn't.
To see if they got the chance.
If we're thinking about, if Dyer said in his mixer in an interview, you know, he said, you know, go and add up all the seconds that Foster wasted. If we did that, if we looked at the whole match, you know, and replayed it on TV, I reckon it would probably add up to, what, maybe 90 seconds, you know? Like, I mean, the idea that Tottenham drew the
match, I think it would be more
because
than that,
it was because of Foster, I think is just slightly...
I get that, but I think it's more about the fact that Foster was able to take the sting out of the game time and time again. And as one of our colleagues said earlier, it's like in basketball, you foul a lot and you disrupt momentum. And it's a similar kind of thing. If every time you get the ball, which was a lot because it was Spurs attacking in wave after wave, if every time you get the ball, you take, you know, 5, 10, 15 seconds longer than you should, you know, it does just take the sting out of the game. It takes the sting out of the crowd. The tempo drops. And that was a big part of Pochettino's pre-match press conference, saying how Spurs need to play at a high tempo. And I'm not really blaming Foster. I think he's an absolute hero to West Brom fans for doing that. And Llorente came on, I think, against Real, was it? And committed a foul and started a fight in the centre circle. And there were a lot of Spurs fans saying, great man, using experience.
Yeah.
You take the sting out of the game, slow it down. And that's just the way it is. So I don't blame Ben Foster, but the referee's got to take action then. And that's how I saw it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I wonder when the last time someone got sent off, though, for, you know, two yellow cards for time wasting.
Over the course of the game, he probably did deserve that.
Yeah, but he probably did, yeah. And if he got yellow carded when he booted the ball out of the ball boy's hands, you know, it would have, certainly, it would have meant that he wouldn't have taken the risk, you know, for the rest of the match.
Yeah. Lloris and Pochettino mentioned trickery and aggression. And Lloris said, as I mentioned, that he feels like Spurs need to be maybe a bit cleverer in winning free kicks and penalties. He was then, I think, asked, oh, what do you mean by that? And he was very careful not to say,
more
we need to cheat and then dive more. But is that, does that just come down to personnel? I mean, obviously Pochettino doesn't trust Nkudu. He's someone who's quick, has got a trick and can beat a man. He doesn't seem to trust Marcus Edwards, who's quick, has got a trick and can beat a man. Lamella's just coming back, he can do a little bit of that. Is it just that Spurs don't have the right players to do that kind of thing?
I mean, Ali can be that player, I think. You know, in the final third, he does like running at people. He does like doing things that are different. He likes going down easily. You know, like I don't think if Ali's playing well, he can perform that role for Tottenham. So far this season, he's just been a bit up and down. And he didn't have the best of games again at the weekend. But I do think we've said for a while now, haven't we, that Tottenham do sort of lack maybe one extra sort of attacking player. I think, you know, even in the last couple of transfer windows, we've said they need that, you know, particularly with Lamella injured, and maybe Lamella coming back now will definitely help, because although he's not the quickest, he does have that ability to spot a pass and he plays the right ball at the right time when you have a break or you have someone who needs to get in. You know, he's able to wait that pass just right, you know, and that is a skill in itself. You know, it's not always about just having someone who can sprint in behind, and you know, it's all about raw pace. Sometimes it is about precision as well. And I think Lamella can provide that. But you know, I mean, I've watched Crystal Palace a bit recently, and you know, the weekend we saw again them get a late winner against Stoke. You know, and it came from Zaha down the left, basically taking a man on, a bit of skill, having the ball quite deep but ending up at the byline, running into the penalty area, a little dink cross and they score. You know, especially having someone like that who can attack a player, take a risk and do something a bit different. And to some extent, as I say, I think Ali can be that player, but when he's not on song, you're relying on someone like Eriksen, who's more of a passer. You know, he likes to sort of thread people through rather than and play in front of teams rather than put players in behind. So, you know, yeah, I think, you know, Ali either needs to step up or they might need to look at it.
But obviously Spurs didn't have different players last year, really. It was more or less the same front four or five, and they were beating these teams 3-4, often 5-0. It does feel like the Wembley thing. It's just, I'm just trying to get my head around why this has suddenly become such an issue, because obviously teams drop deep at White Hart Lane. They played in much the same way.
I mean, I think Tottenham now are a big fish in the Premier League. That does contribute to it slightly. I think more and more now we're seeing teams, not even just the sort of bottom three, four, five teams, go to Spurs and be happy with the point. You know, we're looking at teams like West Brom, and okay, they're struggling at the moment, but you know, the mid-table teams are now happy to get a point at Spurs. You know, Megson after the match on the weekend was noticeably absolutely thrilled. You know, it's so chuff. You know, he was like, you know, this is the team that thrashed Real Madrid. You know, and they couldn't do what they did against them, against us. You know, like look at, you know, and he's sort of thinking, okay, well, you just, you know, it's a point. You know, at the end of the day, well done. You know, but there is a thing now where I think teams do set up to, they know how it works at Wembley as well. You know, they've seen other teams do it. You score a goal, you get men behind the ball, you frustrate the fans. There's a winning formula there, and Tottenham need to work out a way to.
Yeah,
to
that's the worrying thing, really. There's so many more teams in the Premier League to come to Wembley who are going to do that. You know, Newcastle will do it, Watford will do it, you imagine Leicester will do it, yeah. Brighton, Huddersfield. It feels like there's all these games, and you're just thinking, oh, it's going to be the same game again. Unless Spurs, you know, get that something clicks, or they find that solution, and at the moment it just feels like you want to be playing away, or you want to be playing a really good team at Wembley who are going to come and have a go and attack. Because actually, I think midway through the West Brom game, midway through the second half, sorry, against West Brom, West Brom randomly got a corner. They kind of ventured forward, and then 30 seconds later Kane was one-on-one with Hegazi and nearly knocked it around him, and you just thought, it's such a weird game because all Spurs want is West Brom to attack, but West Brom have absolutely no interest in attacking. They've got no interest in having the ball at all. They're just so happy on the edge of their own 18-yard box, repelling these kind of wave after wave of attacks, and it does feel like that's the way it's going to be, particularly, as you said, if you give them an early goal, give them something to hang on to.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, fast starts are important. I mean,
let's move. That's what Kane said. And I think he's got a very good point. If Spurs go 1-0 up against West Brom after 4 minutes, obviously that they've then to get something out of the game, they've got to come at Spurs. Yeah. It didn't quite work that way against Burnley, admittedly. But then I thought Spurs were still so jittery at Wembley at that point.
I mean, if you're asking what the difference is this year between White Hart Lane and Wembley, playing similar teams. I remember last year watching Spurs at White Hart Lane, and from minute one, you know, they would just be all over teams. They'd just swarm them, not let them out. And I think someone even said that, I don't know which West Brom player it was, but they said, you know, last season at White Hart Lane, every time we got the ball, we couldn't get out. You know, every time we had it, we felt like they were there. Every time, there was no space.
Whereas that's an interesting point. So obviously Wembley is so much bigger.
Yeah.
Teams just find themselves able to get rid of the ball much more easily.
Yeah, it's possible that there is a sort of spatial element to it like that, but I also think it's an intensity thing. You know, I think there is something at White Hart Lane last season where the atmosphere was just better. You know, it was noticeable at Wembley before kickoff. It just felt quite flat, and that's, you know, it's not to blame the fans. You know, this is a fairly routine game. And it's a huge stadium, you know, and I do think the players and the fans together are both, you know, there's this thing where Spurs take a long time to get going, and that allows teams then to settle in, whereas I think last year Spurs were literally just hitting teams right from minute one. They were getting 1-0 up in the first half, and then they would have the game won, you know. And this year it's just not like that. I think they feel like they're taking longer to get going, and these sort of resilient sides like West Brom are just kind of getting encouragement too much.
Any concern about Llorente, by the way? It just popped into my head. I mean, I think Luke came on the pod last week, said, when do we get worried about Llorente? And this was before another really poor cameo.
What's his record so far?
He hasn't scored.
No goals at all?
No goals at all. He's played about 20 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because he does always come on for like the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Mm. You know, I think when he came on after an hour
But that, but that's, weekend, that's his remit, isn't it?
Yeah, this is why he's
his job. Yeah. He was sold the club on the basis that you come on for the last 10 minutes, get your head on stuff, get a few goals, start the cup games. He knows what he's got to do. It just doesn't seem to be working at the moment.
No, and I'm not convinced that when he comes on, the way Spurs plays particularly suits the way, you know, he plays. It seems like he comes on, it's a bit of an afterthought. It's like, well, you know, it's always a let's just hope that this might come off. But it's difficult because he obviously is never going to be. He had an injury, didn't he, in the summer? I don't think he ever had that proper sort of pre-season.
He broke his arm in the summer.
Exactly. Mm. And he still looks to me like he's kind of regaining match sharpness, and he probably will never get that sharpness unless Kane gets injured and he plays 5 or 6 games in a row. So we might never see the best of Llorente unless we see the worst of Kane.
Yeah, God forbid. Let's do a little bit on Leicester. Obviously the big news is the return of Eric Lamella, which I'm tremendously excited about. My favourite player, I unashamedly say that.
Well, in the press conference today, you turned round with a huge grin on your face.
I was excited. I am excited. I think it'll be... We've touched on it a little bit, so we wouldn't have to go into too much detail, but it does feel like, for me, Spurs have missed him. Perhaps not so much. I wouldn't really be thinking of the kind of West Brom games, actually. I think I always thought when Lamella was most effective was in the games against the top six, because he used to kind of lead the intensity from the front. And I remember particularly a couple of years ago in the derbies against Arsenal, when he was, you know, fit and firing. I think they both finished 1-1 two seasons ago, and he really gave something, and he got booked in both games and got pulled off, and because he was booked and he looked like he was going to get sent off. But I think Pochettino's touched on it today a little bit without giving away too much, and, you know, he adds something that perhaps others don't.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. Like, for everything that he is on the ball, which, you know, and he does have that, as we said, that kind of final ball, you know, he's just such a great worker. You know, I think that the ironic thing really is that Tottenham kind of signed Lamella as a inventive kind of
Bale-type winger. Yeah,
he would score lots of goals and create things. But actually, one of his best strengths, I think, since he's been at Tottenham, is that he's such a worker. You know, he really hustles harder than anyone else. When he was playing, I remember whether it was last season or the season before, you know, he was like consistently top of the fouling charts. You know, and you know, that's, it does show. You know, he's not a defensive midfielder, and you've got a guy who's basically playing as an attacking midfielder who's just constantly fouling people because he's always there. You know, he's always hitting people, and he's always trying to win the ball back. And that, and you're right, that does set a tone, I think, for the rest of the team. They see someone like that, like Kane does as well so often. It just sets the mood, and I think Tottenham have missed that.
It's a very different Tottenham to the one he last played in, though. I think when he last played, it was almost exclusively 4-2-3-1. Although Poch, of course, would say that he'd been playing three at the back all along with Dyer dropping in, but that's open for debate. And there were three attacking midfield spots, so he was normally next to Eriksen and Ali. Now, more often than not, although it's always evolving, it's always changing, it, more often than not, there's two spots in there. So it will be tricky for him to get back in the first team, but provides a much needed alternative to Eriksen, I think, because he seems to be someone who there just hasn't been anyone even remotely like for in the squad.
Yeah, I definitely think that. I think he'll find a place for Lamella. I think the problem is with this is that, you know, you have a player who's come back and you immediately start envisioning, you know, a formation and a system
Lamella,
with a fully fit Lamella, fully fit Ali and Eriksen. Whereas when Lamella does get back to being 100%, which might not be until, you know, January or something, or late December, who knows? You know, by then, you know, Ali might be injured, or Eriksen, you know, these things tend to work themselves out. But I think if they are all fit and firing, I think you do find a place for him, you know. Whether that means going back to a 3-1 up front, or a midfield diamond with all three of them in the same team.
Well, he's played a front five in the last two games with Son, Ali and Eriksen behind Kane.
Yeah, exactly.
So there certainly is scope to do that. It will take him a while, I think. And Pochettino was very much preaching that in his press conference today, saying don't expect too much. I think he'll be on the bench against Leicester, probably have a cameo, and then possibly start against Apoel next week. Yeah. Since it's such a meaningless game, but I think the Apple game will give us a good idea. If he doesn't start that, then we'll know that he's still kind of somewhere away from getting back.
Pochettino said today that he might treat him in a similar kind of way to Rose, and that he might sort of play one game, then he might be out of the squad again. Another, you know, it might be that kind of thing where he still needs to kind of do those shuttle runs back at Hotspur Way before he's really trusted to sort of be on the bench every single week. So it might be a while still, I think, might be a few weeks. But, you know, with the Christmas period, there's so many fixtures that they might need him, you know, sooner than they might think.
Mm. And you bamboozled Pochettino today by saying he might be like a new signing, which confused him a lot.
So it was a very tricky question.
Tricky question, because he's not new. He's been here for 4.5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of want him to say, you know.
I think he knew that if he said yes, then we'd all write Lamella like a new signing, says Pochettino. So he's carefully avoiding that. Any other thoughts about Leicester? I mean, I think I touched upon it earlier, but at the beginning of the week, I looked at West Brom and Leicester and probably thought, well, it's going to be easier for Spurs at Leicester. And obviously it hasn't been proven yet, but I suspect it will be just because Leicester have been trying to play football since Claude Puel's come in. I think they're likely to play Gray and Mahrez, who will give the fullbacks problems, especially if it's Aurier plays. But there'll be more space than there was on Saturday. So I think I'm expecting a better game, certainly, than West Brom.
Yeah, I think it will certainly suit Tottenham more, definitely. I mean, and they've got a good run of fixtures now, you know. I mean, the table looks pretty bleak right now in terms of the title. For everyone, though, really, apart from City. Mm. They do have a good run of 3 or 4 or 5 games now, and then they play City, obviously. So it's just a matter of...
Leicester, Watford... Stoke, Brighton, then City.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good run, isn't it? I mean, you would have included West Brom in that good run. So you know, they need to find the momentum and pick up the points. And I think if they do that, then they can go into that City game with a bit of confidence. Maybe if that gap is 10, maybe rather than 13, they can go there and get it down a bit. But I think we said today, there definitely feels right now it's like air of. Way Pochettino is suddenly talking, bringing up Wembley, and I mean, in the manager's press conference at the weekend, he brought up Wembley without anyone even talking about
unprompted.
It.
Unprompted.
You know? Whereas there was a thing where earlier on in the season, when the questions were all about Wembley, and he was very much, oh God, Wembley again. You know. Yeah. Whereas it was noticeable that he definitely said, we're now in a, we're not a wild heart lane. We can't escape that. It was all him bringing that up. Mm. And
yeah, he's gone from rolling his eyes to kind of bringing it up and making sure
that people know.
Everyone's. In no doubt that Spurs have to play at Wembley.
Yeah.
I think he used the term, we cannot escape our reality, or we cannot escape it, or something. So,
and even today, there's a lot of
talk about circumstances,
we're literally
stuck at Wembley.
Yeah,
so...
You don't want to basically slip into that point where it becomes like a sort of transition season where actually it's this season was always going to be difficult, next year is the year. And it could become that in the next month or two if the results don't turn and City's results don't turn. But it also is going to be a fight for the top four as well at this rate, and Spurs have to square with that. It might be a difficult one if Chelsea and Arsenal and Liverpool and United are all going to be in there. It might have to be another fight for the top four. I think they'll make it, but this little run of fixtures here would be a good place to start.
Agreed. And just to finish up, Harry Winks is ill. Suspect Dembele to come in.
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
Poch mentioned him today and kind of. Again, admitted he's still not quite there.
We asked him about whether or not he could basically play 90 minutes, and he wasn't very convincing on it. He was very much kind of like, maybe we'll see. He's still like regaining sharpness. I wonder if he's regaining sharpness, whether he's sort of regaining physical fitness. Is it whether that injury is still hurting him, whether he's actually sharp? I don't know. But I mean, when did he last play 90 minutes?
He's not quite looked. Full Dembele yet. Fingers crossed that comes back, but I think even kind of Robson Carney was shrugging him off the ball on Saturday, and he doesn't normally get shrugged off the ball by anyone, so we'll see. I think he should start. I think we've covered about everything.
I think that's about everything, isn't it?
Yeah, if we've missed something massive, it's because I don't have a running order and we've literally come straight from the press conference via the pub, so don't blame us. Tom, thanks very much for joining me.
No problem.